You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Together with Jesus. We are going to be talking about Jesus' life together over the course of this year. We're going to be walking through the Gospels, and we're starting that off this week. And as we start that off, we're going to start it off with this new podcast. And so this podcast is kind of in development. We're going to see how it works. We're going to take your feedback and we're going to hear how it goes. And the goal for this podcast is just going to be able to give you a resource where you can listen to two chapters of the Gospels every week. And so we're going to start off today with the Gospel according to Matthew. We're looking at Matthew chapter 1. Today we're going to be reading out of the New American Standard Bible, and we're going to read both chapters, and then after that we're going to have this thing called the After Party. And the After Party is just going to be a time to stop and to reflect and to think about those things that we just read. And so we're going to start off now with Matthew chapter 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. And Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram, and Joram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham, and Jotham was the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh, the father of Amon, and Amon, the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abihud, and Abihud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor. And Azor was the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud. Eliud was the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matan, and Matan the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted, because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee, and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." All right, that was the reading. And so if you're just in this to get the reading done, you can go ahead and you can stop your podcast player or wherever you're listening to this. But the next little bit is just going to be a little bit of walking through what we just read and talking about it a little bit, giving you some insights and giving you some things to think about as you think about the reading. Maybe you want to go through the reading again after you've listened to this. However you want to use this, this is your tool to use. We're not going to tell you how to use it. We're just going to give you the opportunity. And once again, if you have anything to let us know about, anything that would be helpful, that would be great, because we're wanting this to be a resource that's helpful for you. So to start off with the genealogy of Jesus, and for a lot of us, that's not something that we really want to read. It's a lot of really crazy names and a lot of things that maybe sound familiar, but maybe don't quite connect up with what's kind of in the front of our mind. And Matthew puts this out there in his gospel straight out for a number of different reasons. One of the biggest reasons, though, is that what Matthew is trying to do is he's trying to establish for us that Jesus is actually of the line of David, that Jesus is somebody who would be considered royalty when you looked back at his 23andMe or you looked back at who he was. You would find that he was of the line of David because Joseph, his adoptive father, was legally also of the line of David. And so even though Jesus is born outside of needing Joseph because he's born through the Holy Spirit, nonetheless, he is legally Joseph's son, and being legally Joseph's son, he's of the same lineage as Joseph is, and that lineage is of the line of David. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. You also notice there's a lot of other names in there that might sort of sound familiar to you. One of those is Tamar. There's several women in this passage. One of those is Tamar. Tamar is sort of an odd choice to include in this because Tamar has a bit of a scandalous past. You also have the mention of Ruth in this, and that Ruth has Obed, who has Jesse, and Ruth is a Gentile. And so to include Ruth, a Gentile, and also a few other Gentiles, you also have in verse 6, you have this kind of strange thing where they specifically point out sort of a family secret, if you will, that comes up with Solomon, where David is the father of Solomon, but he's the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. And so throughout this thing, you see that Jesus comes from this royal family, but as you start looking back into the royal family, you find out that it's not a very sanitized royal family. You have a guy like Zerubbabel, who is absolutely cursed in the Bible for what he does as being a bad king. And so you have all of these people that you maybe don't expect to find in this royal lineage. And so it kind of does two things. It both shows us that Jesus is a royal king of the line of David, but it also shows us that Jesus's background is full of sinners. And of course, that's the case, because what would we expect? Everybody is a sinner. But that also brings it to bear for us, that we can put ourselves into Jesus's family line, knowing that even though we're sinners, that he died for us, that he died in order to make us clean and in order to bring us the good news that he is our Messiah. Well, after we get through the genealogy, we get Joseph's view of Jesus's birth. So this isn't what a lot of times we read at Christmas. A lot of times at Christmas, we read the Gospel according to Luke. And the Gospel according to Luke is a great story. There's a lot of information in there, and I think that's why we use it around Christmas. But at the same time, that is the Gospel sort of according to Mary. It's from Mary's perspective. And the beautiful thing about Matthew is that Matthew gives us Joseph's perspective. Now, Matthew also keeps Joseph as a very mysterious character. Joseph really never speaks. We only get one sort of internal idea of Joseph, where Joseph goes and we kind of get this sense that he has a problem, that Mary turns up pregnant and he's trying to figure out what to do with that. But that's as much of the internal out of Joseph as we get. Most of what we get out of Joseph is just him responding in action to things that happen. And so it's kind of neat to have that sense of who Joseph is, and we can even imagine what his emotions would have been like during those moments. After we have the birth of Jesus, we have almost immediately showing up the Magi. Now, there's reasons for us to think that maybe the Magi didn't come sort of right away, but the Magi, or the wise men, were probably people from Syria or from Persia who were astrologers. They were people that looked to the sky in order to try to tell the future. And as they looked to the sky trying to tell the future, they saw something about a king that would be coming. And this king is somebody that they were interested in meeting. They wanted to show up, and they wanted to gain favor probably by showing up. And it's also interesting that the Magi are the first sort of non-Jewish people that show up in the account that Matthew has for us. And so when they show up, you immediately get this sense that Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience. That's very, very clear from the way that he quotes Old Testament, from other things that show up in his gospel. But another thing that you see in his gospel, as we'll continue to see this as we continue to read, is that Matthew seems to be making a case for Gentiles being a part of the Christian church. When this was written, a little bit before 70 AD, the church was still probably a little bit suspicious of Gentile Christians. They sort of understood Christianity as a Jewish thing, sort of as a development in Jewish theology. They didn't really see it as something that was opening up to the Gentiles. But of course, during this time, you also have Paul, who's out there, and he's talking to people, he's bringing in tons of Gentile converts. And so this was probably an issue that was on people's mind. And so Matthew probably chooses to include the Magi here in order to show his Jewish readers that it's okay that the Gentiles are a part of the church. After we get the Magi, then we have a problem, because all of a sudden you have Herod, who sort of sneakily says, hey, when you find him, let me know so that I can go and quote-unquote worship him. Well, Herod doesn't have that in mind. Herod has already killed his own wife and child earlier in his life. He was very paranoid. Some people think that it was because he had syphilis. Other people just thought that it was because he was, well, just paranoid. But either way, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and tells him, hey, get out of town. Go to Egypt. And of course, Joseph, without a word, gets everybody up and they go to Egypt. And he just responds and he does exactly what God tells him to do. In that also, you have a quote from the prophet Hosea. And the prophet Hosea, in this section, is talking about how Jesus is being called out of Egypt as Israel was. And so there's kind of this idea that what Jesus is in Matthew, and what Matthew is trying to point out here, is that Jesus is a new Israel, that he is a stand-in for where Israel has failed before. So just as Israel kind of started off in a lot of ways being rescued out of Egypt and being brought back into the Mount of Sinai and then the Promised Land, so too Jesus is going to retrace those steps because he is the new Israel. After that, we find out why it is that the angel tells Joseph to flee. And this is a very sad story where Herod decides that he is going to kill all of the children in Israel who are 2 years old and younger. Now, because of the timing that Herod places there, a lot of people think that what was happening was that Mary and Joseph didn't just go to Bethlehem in order to hang out for a couple of weeks to be at the census and then leave, but rather they had kind of moved there. They had kind of taken up residence in Bethlehem. And as they took up residence in Bethlehem, they had been there for a little while. People think that Jesus was maybe 1 or even 2 years old, and that's why Herod says to his soldiers to kill everybody who's 2 years old and younger, because he knows that Jesus is somewhere in there because of what the Magi told him. Finally, we get Matthew 2:19 through 23, the last little bit that we have. And this is where Jesus returns to Nazareth. And so the angel reveals to Joseph that it's safe to come back. But as Joseph is coming back, he finds out that Archelaus, who is the son of the Herod who wanted to kill Jesus, is the tetrarch in Galilee. Now, what had happened was Herod had died, and Rome had carved up his property, if you will, into four different sections. And as they carved that up into four different sections, you had one of those sections went to Archelaus, who was Herod's son. You had those other areas go to other people. And so Joseph, kind of figuring things out, says, well, I don't want the child to go and to be under the rule of the son of the guy who tried to kill him. So we're going to move back to our hometown, which is the town of Nazareth. And Matthew points out how that fulfills some prophecies. That's another big piece of what we'll find in Matthew, and we'll see more of what happens in Matthew as the weeks go by. Well, that's been the after party. We thank you so much for being a part of this, and please do let us know. You can always send me an email at pastor@universitylutheranchurch.org, and we look forward to having another one of these for you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.